What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 117. Today, we're doing something a little different. We're going to interview Heather Shepherd. She is the author of the book Sunlight Prescription. She's really smart. I mean, side note, we already recorded the interview, so it went really well and it was very impressive. A lot of good information. I'm going to link her book and her Instagram on the website so you can find it there and check out all the stuff she has. But first, the article of the week is 7 ways to melt holiday stress and cozy up for a better night's sleep. And you can find this article on the website, so tntwellnessandnutrition.com. So Tom, you want to cover it real quick?
Yeah, so I'll just kind of run through 1 through 7 pretty quick. The first one is check your mattress. I would go beyond this and pretty much say set up your entire bedroom to promote the quality of your sleep. The article just talks about having, you know, a comfortable place to sleep. But I think that goes beyond just having a comfy mattress. You want to have a very, very dark room. You want to have, you know, comfy bed, the right temperature. The right temperature is generally going to be on the cooler side. And also, you know, quiet. You don't want it to be really loud. You know, if you can, like, you know, get big curtains to block out the light, that'll help block out the noise. You know, get some better windows to block out noise as well, stuff like that. Number 2 is to go to bed at the same time and try to get 8 hours of sleep. I mean, this is really good advice. It makes it easier for you to fall asleep by going to bed at the same time, get into like a sleep rhythm. And 8 hours is kind of like the minimum to get that like quality recovery. I would actually go beyond 8 hours because one thing I've noticed since I've had an Oura Ring is now that like I'm actually really tracking how much sleep I'm getting, I'm sleeping about an hour less than what my Garmin watch says I am, just because you wake up numerous times throughout the night and you don't really notice it. Like, you're not going to remember waking up for like 5 minutes at 2 or 3 in the morning, but you really do. And you know, it measures your tossing and turning. So just having like an Oura Ring, which is, I think, the best sleep tracker out there, you don't get as much sleep as you really think that you do. So I would say try to get 9 or 10 hours of sleep. And also you don't fall asleep the second your head hits the pillow.
No, definitely not. None of us really, especially in today's world. But yeah, I got recently approached by someone who, just to boil down the whole conversation, he was like, is sleep that important? He's like, you know, everyone talks about sleep. Some people get 5 hours, some people get 10 hours. Is it that important? And the simple answer is yes. Like, I don't care if you're a hyper athlete and your job is to train your body or you're in a cubicle all day, you need to get sleep. It's really that important.
Yeah, so the next one is be consistent with this sleep schedule. And that just means go to bed and wake up at the same times, whether you have work or not. I think this is really big. I notice I do this all the time. Like, I go to bed pretty much the same time every night. And even if I don't have work, like, I wake up at the same time, even if I don't have it. Generally, on weekends, I'm like, I'm just going to, you know, go back to sleep, sleep a little bit more if I can. But just naturally, I can't really sleep in that much more than I do like when I have work.
Yeah, same here.
This is a great one. It's called Practice a Pre-Bed Ritual. And this just primes your body for falling asleep. So like your pre-bed ritual can be pretty much anything. It could be, you know, brushing your teeth. Just something as easy.
Hopefully it's not scrolling through Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. Yeah. But it's basically just do the same thing every single night to let your body know that you're ready to go to bed. We're creatures of habit. It's crazy how well this works, but it does. One thing I recommend for everybody is to make your like house and wherever you are as dark as you possibly can, like the hours leading up to bedtime. So that's some good advice. The number 5 is don't talk money before bed. I would expand this to pretty much don't do anything that's going to like lead to stress. That includes exercise. Like if you're doing some stressful activities, your heart rate's going to increase. And the higher your heart rate is before you go to bed, the longer it's going to take to get to its resting levels. And that's going to decrease the amount of recovery, decrease the quality of sleep that you're getting. Another one that's kind of tied to number five is watch what you eat and drink. So alcohol and sugary foods will decrease your quality of sleep. And even having a big healthy meal, just like right before you go to bed, it will do the same thing. It impacts your sleep because your body is focusing on digestion instead of recovery, taking longer for your heart rate to get to its resting standpoint. Once it's at that resting level, that's where maximum recovery is coming from.
Yeah, this one's always kind of hard for me because I approach things a lot from the nutritional world, from a bodybuilding perspective, because that's my background. That's kind of my foundation. Everything's built upon. And in a bodybuilding context, what do they tell you to do right before bed?
Eat as much as you can.
Eat, right? Because you're going to be quote-unquote catabolic. You're not going to eat for, let's say, 8 to 12 hours. They want you to eat right before bed. But what's also very important to put on muscle? Quality sleep. So there's a yin and yang there. Like, maybe it is good to get some protein later in the evening, but I wouldn't do it. When I was in high school, I know I used to have protein shakes literally in bed, and then I'd fall asleep. You know, because that's how I was so... I mean, I was brainwashed, to be honest. Yeah. But, you know, you just think you need protein 24/7, 365. So maybe get that meal in an hour or two before bed, even if you are coming from a bodybuilding world.
Well, I think, like, with that, if you're having, like, a protein shake that's, what, like, 200 calories at the most before bed, I don't think that's going to impact your sleep. But if you're having 2 pounds of ribeye,
yeah, it's
like, that's, like, 2,000 calories that's right before, it's going to take a little bit longer. And those protein shakes are usually, like, really digestible protein compared to, like, all the fat and the protein from a steak.
So that's true. A little different.
Yeah. So protein shake's not going to really harm you. Like, if you're going to eat that 2 pounds of ribeye, do that a few hours beforehand.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And number seven, I mean, I love this advice. It's just move around. Not right before bed, but just 30 minutes of exercise a day significantly improves your quality of sleep. And even something as little as a 10-minute walk a day can increase your sleep quality. So, I mean, I love this. It's very easy read. Seven easy steps that everybody could and should be doing.
Yeah. And, I mean, you preach sleep more than anybody I know. You know how important it is. So, it's really up there.
I don't know. Heather Shepherd talks about sleep a lot in this podcast, too, and she gives some really great advice as well. So, hope you guys enjoy this interview.
Yeah. Okay, we have Heather here. She is the author of the book Sunlight Prescription. Me and her actually met on Instagram, so this is the power of social media, you know, connecting people all across the world. This happened maybe 2 months ago when we were filming our statin series, and I was reading all about cholesterol, and I came across one of her posts, and she mentioned the benefits of cholesterol, and I was like, oh, I like what this girl's saying, because I feel like everybody is so down on cholesterol. We were the only people talking about the benefits of cholesterol, and so I started seeing what she was doing, and I liked what stuff she was talking about, so me and her hooked up and started DMing each other and asked her to come on the podcast, so here she is. She's the author of the book Sunlight Prescription, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. But just first off, Heather, just hi. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for inviting me on. It's good to be here, and I look forward to diving into sunlight and what other topics you all are inspired to touch upon today for your audience.
All right, so let's first just start with the obvious question. What made you want to write Sunlight Prescription?
Okay, that's an awesome question. So I'll try to sum it up as succinctly as I can. When I was in my early 20s, I suffered a TBI, a traumatic brain injury, from a car accident. And before that time, I was super athletic, trained professional athletes. I played Division I basketball. And so I was really in the athletic world. And then one morning, driving to work, lost control of my car and split a telephone pole in two. And the result of that was a minor brain injury, but it had pretty debilitating effects on my body. I couldn't work out as I once had. I couldn't move my body just for years, just simply walking, put a lot of pressure on my head and caused dizziness. And so there was a lot of side effects from that that restricted my physical activity, what I was once so used to. So I literally for years tried many different modalities. And by the way, you know, all CAT scans, MRIs, those things just continued to come back clear, but I didn't feel clear. And so I pursued a lot of different modalities to help heal my brain injury and never experienced anything long term. You know, I'd have maybe some breakthroughs for an hour, a day, a couple days, and then it kind of go back to square one where the dizziness, the headaches, the low energy, etc. would return. And so, you know, about 10 years into this thing, I was listening to a podcast, and I honestly can't even remember which one it is, but I just remember someone mentioning the use of sunlight for migraine headaches. And so I started to research that a little bit more. And then I just started to learn about the different frequencies in the sun, because they change throughout the day and throughout the year depending on where one lives and one's degree latitude and that sort of thing. And so I started to piece together the different light frequencies that sunlight emits throughout the day. And so I started to just literally experiment with myself going out in sunlight at various times to see what the effects were on my body, the brain injury. And at that point, 10 years in, honestly, I wasn't expecting anything. I was like, well, you know, I've tried everything. What's it going to hurt to be outside a little bit more, getting more sunlight? Hey, maybe it'll just feel good. But the results were astounding, better than any modality I'd ever engaged in, long lasting. And so I started to piece together this protocol I was doing, and because I was healing so much, not only my brain, but my energy levels, my digestion, the whole gamut, my entire health was improving. And so I started to piece together what I now call the Sunlight Prescription or the Sunlight RX, and then started to implement it with my clients who have various different health issues, from type 2 diabetes to cancer to brain injuries to all types of different chronic ailments. And then they started to get better. And so I said, hey, there's really something to this here. I need to get this out to people and just put it together in an ebook, and started to share it with the world so they could learn about the healing benefits of the Sunlight RX. So in kind of a long nutshell, that's how I started to get into it.
Okay. Yeah. That's, you know, honestly, that's something I actually really am scared of, is 'cause I'm fairly young, I'm fairly healthy now, fairly strong. And it's just, when you have those things every day, you take it for granted. And yeah, you have those major incidents in your life, like your car accident, it changes everything. So that sounds like a powerful tool to want to heal yourself, to get back to those old ways, because I'm sure you knew what it felt like to be strong and healthy, you know?
Yeah, such a good point, because, once you experience both sides, life is totally different. And then, you know, when you're on the other side, you're always striving to get back. And, you know, I think that's something that has continued to motivate my personal healing, especially when things were kind of rough. And I was like, whoa, I don't know what to do to feel that energy again, to feel the strength in my own body again. And so I think that really kept me going with, you know, just simply knowing what it was like to feel good. I think that's a great point for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you first started this, like increasing your sunlight exposure, prior to that, were you getting basically none? Like, were you inside most of the time, or where were you living at the time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So at the time, I was living in New Mexico, which is a fairly sunny place, and a lot of New Mexico is high elevation, so there's a lot of UVB light, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point. But so I had good sunlight access, but honestly, I was going outside but I wasn't going outside at the correct time of day. You see, because there's a chronological order that's very important for the physiology of our body. Certain light spectrums trigger and signal the release of certain hormones and metabolic signals. However, in order for those signals to be released in a timely manner, they have to be—you have to be exposed to sunlight in this chronological order, which I lay out in the Sunlight RX. So I was going out, you know, for an afternoon walk, and I would get migraine headaches every single time. No fail. Every single time I'd go out, and I'd get a migraine headache. But I was going out around 11, 12, 1. And so at that time of day, especially in the high desert, sun was super strong. What I didn't know, I just chalked it up to, okay, I have a sun sensitivity. I get migraine headaches when I'm in the sun. But when I started to piece together the Sunlight RX, I realized I wasn't going about my sun exposure in an appropriate and a correct way. And once I did, the migraine headaches totally went away. So when I started to do this, I was in New Mexico and it was definitely high desert, a lot of strong sunlight. So that's kind of where the whole trial and error and healing took place initially, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, You mentioned like a lot of like improvements. Was like migraines like the biggest improvement that you noticed, or was there just like too many improvements to kind of recognize? Like, do you think one stood out more than any others?
Yeah, that's a good question. So let me see if I can get like my top five improvements. Definitely the migraine headaches. Improved sleep was really high up there. Improved energy levels, very high up there. Just my mood, very, very high up there, and my metabolism improved greatly. I'd say those were kind of the top five things.
I think people are going to be so surprised, because if people listen to this podcast, they know me and Tom both are very pro-sun. I mean, I'm literally the whitest guy on the planet, but I try and get out in the sun as much as possible because I know how powerful it is. But even reading your book and listening to you talk now, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface. Like, there's so much more stuff the sun can give us.
It's absolutely. I mean, there's so much, and you know, if you guys like, I can run people through like just the basics of the Sunlight RX, and so they can hear the different physiological triggers or signals that happen as you go throughout your day. If you feel like that would help people and help your audience.
Yeah, definitely. But kind of before we get to that, what's like the biggest difference between like sunlight and like artificial light, like the blue light that we get from screens and stuff like that?
That's a good question. And I think it kind of links into another question I didn't fully answer for you all was I out in sunlight very much before the sunlight prescription? And the answer is not nearly as much as I am now. And since developing that, you know, I've created my own healing business, you know, over a decade ago. And so much of my work has been online, indoors, under artificial light, in front of a screen, which I think, at least at this time, much of the world and our education system's moving towards, which is unfortunate in one way. But in another way, I think people are going to get so sick that they're going to realize that something's very off, which is exactly what happened to me. So when we're indoors, just by being indoors, we're in a blue light environment. Even if you don't have any lights on in your home, because the windows block red light, the windows block UV, the purple, the violet light that comes through in sunlight, that's very important to our energy production, to our mitochondrial health, to our ability to make vitamin D, our metabolism, etc. So literally just by being indoors, we're not getting the hormonal and metabolic signals that we do receive when we're outside in sunlight. Now, when we flip the switch on and we get under, say, the standard, the conventional LED lights, which are predominantly blue and green, we cause a metabolic and hormonal shit show. I don't know if I can swear.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
That's okay. But it's a literal disaster for our metabolism and our hormones just by being underneath that artificial light. And a lot of people are like, well, sunlight also contains blue light, which is absolutely accurate, but it contains a different spectrum of blue light than the LEDs that are in our house. The LEDs in our house are at a much higher light temperature than the blue light outside, which is really a train wreck for our cortisol levels, for our hormones, for our metabolism. It's highly inflammatory. And just by being under blue light, you can, and this is shown in a lot of the studies that are coming out now, you can become a type 2 diabetic or a pre-diabetic just from being under blue light, despite what you eat and what goes into your mouth. So this is, I think, a new area for a lot of people, this connection between light and health, because for so many years we've been kind of diverted away from light since Edison invented the light bulb in the late 1800s. And so, you know, we've just become accustomed to that way of living, and we focused more on diet, which is absolutely important. I'm a huge proponent of a healthy diet, and it's a huge part of my work with people. But what a lot of people aren't aware of, especially since the invention of the incandescent bulb and that's moved us indoors, is the effect that light has on our metabolism and on our hormones, which is, we're just set up from a physiological standpoint to, for those systems to run when we're exposed to certain light forms. So when we're inside under LEDs in front of a screen, we're not getting any of the UV light, we're not getting any red light, we're getting totally bombarded with artificial light, which has some serious health effects on our body in multiple ways. And so depending on where one is susceptible, so for me, I was more susceptible because of my brain injury to my brain. So I would get vertigo, I'd get dizzy, I'd get, you know, migraine headaches, I'd have poor sleep, and then wouldn't have a lot of energy. And so that's where it hit me. Other people, they get malignant melanoma, or they'll get digestive issues, or they'll get, you know, hypothyroid issues. So it really depends on where one's susceptible as to where they're going to see the biggest decline in their health just from being exposed to artificial light.
Yeah, I think, as you know, again, if you listen to this podcast, as far as a dietary perspective, me and Tom both, from the backbone of a lot of our arguments, they're from an evolutionary standpoint. So we go back to the foods our ancestors ate. But a lot of people don't know, just because, I mean, I get it, we're busy, we have a mortgage to pay, we have a family to take care of, but living our lives inside a building and underneath these lights is so unnatural. For the vast majority of our history, 99% of it, or 99.8% probably, we were outside most of the time.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, people just don't understand how uncommon it is really to be exposed to these, like, LEDs and artificial light 24/7.
It's so true. It's so true. It's just become a way of life, something that we just have accepted kind of as the norm. And, you know, a lot of ways today, we, our lives now depend on indoor living in some way, with our work, with you know, how we get things done in the world on a computer or a phone or et cetera. And so I think we're going to see a massive shift start to take place with the direction that the world has taken, and it looks like things are going, you know, in a negative direction. I think sometimes things have to get so bad for us to open our eyes and see a new way. And I think we're in for a massive awakening around this topic in the near future, over the next decade. Everybody's moving even more so towards indoor living, and I think we're going to see some serious health effects, even more so than we already are. And the new, I shouldn't say new science, because this science and the way our physiology work when in sunlight has been, this information's been available to us for years and years and years. It's just been buried in the medical literature because the funding is funneled in a different direction. And so I think people are starting to hear and learn more and more about sunlight, and it's so cool and awesome that you all are really teaching people how to get back to the ancestral wisdom, the ancestral ways around food. And if we can tie light into that picture, I think people are really going to feel so good that they're not going to want to go back to the old way or find ways and how to work with, okay, how can I be outside more, and then start to tailor their school, their education, their work around that more. At least that's the deep hope anyway. And I think a lot of people, once they start to feel better from being in sunlight, just like I did, I was like, hey, I'm just going to try this, not attached to any outcome, no idea how it's going to go. But the thing that got me wasn't what I read on Google or, you know, et cetera. It's that I actually felt better. And so I think when people start to feel better by being outside and being in sunlight and feel the drastic difference in their body, I can only hope that they'll start to, you know, live more in alignment with nature that you all are also promoting through food, which is really, really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The proof's in the pudding. It really is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really hope you're right. I mean, when most people think of, like, a dream vacation, it's not locked indoors somewhere. It's them, like, almost naked, walking on the beach in the sunshine. So, yeah, people definitely notice that they feel good when they're in the sun.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, you know, they feel restricted that they have to do something, they have to work a certain way. And I think with how rigid some of the structures are getting in the external world right now, people aren't going to sign up for that long term. And I think our ability to be more creative in our lifestyles and our work and how we make a living is going to be a big part in how we get back to nature and creating that lifestyle more so. So I think we're at the brink of something kind of a big opening here in the next 10 years or so.
Yeah, I hope you're right about that.
All right, we're going to end the podcast episode there. Heather was very gracious with her time, so the interview did run pretty long. So we're going to split it up into multiple parts so it's a little bit easily digestible. But yeah, continue to listen next week. We're on part two. We cover a lot of various topics, all about the health benefits of the sun and really how powerful a tool, a healing tool, the sun can be when you actually use it properly. So continue listening to us. You can find the website. You can find all of Heather's links on the website. So TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. Check it out. Hope you guys liked it, and check you out next week.